for our church that we can have more of that. I would love to have young people, even that age, just be involved in the services and be involved in communicating the gospel. Like that's what scripture talks about, right? When we're supposed to teach and train our children as we walk and as like our daily life. So, I mean, that's a blessing. And I would say, you know, for so many of you who have invested into this church for many, many years, sometimes decades, right? That's your investment. I mean, that's the investment we put into not just having a church building and not just having church property and, but for, into lives and for people to just to speak truth and to learn and train on how to communicate Christ. So I thought that was great. So this morning I wanted to have a couple snow jokes, since it did snow. What did the hat say to the scarf? You hang around a while, I'll go on ahead. You get that one, Jim? You go on your head. You go on a while. I'll go on ahead. Okay. How does a snow globe feel after hearing a scary story? A bit shaken up. That snow globe feels a bit shaken up. And then, so those are our two, and then we'll go to our Gerald. You weren't here for the card reading. So, I got these new list of cards with jokes, dad jokes, like hundreds of them. So every week I pull from one of my, hopefully so far they've been all clean. So, yeah, right. So today's joke, we've read that one. I did put it on the wrong side. I don't like that one. I have tons more at home. I like easy ones. What's the difference between a guitar and a fish? You can't tuna fish. All right. Bradley, you can use that one at school this coming week. So you can't tuna fish. All right, that's good. All right, let's just open up prayer this morning as we've been looking at Stephen, the life of Stephen, and we were picking up on that series today. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures. Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given us. Help us to understand your word. Help us to look at your word and to apply it into our life. Help us to listen to you when you're speaking to us on how to live and how to implement your word into our life for a biblical worldview in our society today. And Lord, we pray for that. Lord, speak to us this morning and thank you. And Lord, I thank you for and pray for the ministry of Unto. Thank you for that, Gerald speaking this morning on just what they're doing. And Lord, we know that's such a needy thing throughout the world, not just to help people's needs, but to help people. And then for the Christian community to come aside those people and present the gospel to them and help them in their Christian growth and their walk in so many areas of the world that's not taking place. And we thank you for that ministry, Lord. We pray for strength for them and a blessing upon that ministry. And we pray. Amen. All right, so Stephen, we've been looking at the life of Stephen. And this morning, so just the first week, we stepped back and we looked at who was Stephen. So Stephen was one of the seven, one of the called deacons. He wasn't one of the 12. He was one of the seven, one of those called out to serve people. He was in the distribution service. Maybe he was in an Unto type of ministry, right? Where he was doing distribution of food, helping and taking care of the needs of the widows that weren't being taken care of. And that problem and that that issue arose within the church, the early church, and then so Stephen was one of those seven men that came in to be part of this whole new office of deacon and helping and serving people. The second week we looked at it with then when opposition arises, right? Opposition continued to rise up in the church and people were complaining and having problems. And so this was all taking place. And Stephen, being a deacon, not just service oriented, but was able to speak and communicate, which we'll see today, the gospel and the history and everything of Israel. But we looked at what was his qualities. His qualities, he was full of wisdom and he was full of the Spirit. And that was things that we looked at in week two. Week three today, we're going to look at, and this is there's a lot of information in here, not so much on Stephen, but just what he spoke on the breakdown of the history of Israel. And so Stephen, now we're going to look at Stephen as a speaker of truth. And as we get rolling into this, there's a lot of reading today. I was like, well, should I read the whole chapter? Because, you know, the concentration that I was looking at was Stephen. The man of Stephen, what did he, as being filled with the Spirit and full of wisdom and these qualities that Stephen had to stand, to number one, to stand up and say, hey, I'm willing and I want to serve the Lord. And then where he was willing to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do, whatever the apostles needed him to do, that he was a hands-on guy, but then he just wasn't hands-on, but that he was speaking, that he was full of wisdom. And actually, when we talk about being filled with the Spirit, you know, it reminded me of John chapter 14, verse 26, because this is the qualities that we need to have before we jump in. It says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Involved in the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life is to remind us of what Jesus said. So that's where the power that Stephen was pulling from was from the Holy Spirit, from God, from Jesus. Everything was coming from that source of the Holy Spirit. All right. Acts chapter 7. Stephen was a speaker of truth. So we left Stephen. He was being questioned by the Sanhedrin. So he's up in front of the Sanhedrin, and we start in verse 1. Then the high priest asked him, are these charges true? They charged him with false. Imagine that, right? We talk about politics, and even though this is church politics here, it wasn't the government. This was the Sanhedrin, and once again, it's people, it's politics, and they were playing games. And that's where we find Stephen. And the high priest then says, are these charges true? And then Stephen starts off in verse 2, and it goes the entire chapter. We're going to be jumping around, and then I'm going to just jump down. Verse 2. To this he replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. Listen to me, he said. So he didn't start off. What I find interesting here is he didn't start off like not like this bold, like just shut up or, you know, like not like what don't you get this? He started off in a unified spirit because he started off and says brothers and fathers. Like he's trying to really, he's using the wisdom that God has given him and that we see that he was wisdom. He's using that wisdom to try to unite his brothers and his fathers within his nation and within within Judaism, right? And even though he was a Christian believer. So he's trying to unite these men to see and understand some type of unifying effort to begin to lay out the gospel because these guys didn't believe it. And then so he says that he demands some boldness. He just doesn't say, well, this is what it says. He said, no, listen to me. He takes an authority position, and he says now, so he's in this chamber. He's in this, however that, I don't know how that Sanhedrin looked. You know, when I think of the Sanhedrin, I think of like a court, and I think of the Supreme Court, and I think of, which that's what the Sanhedrin was for the Jews, right? That's the Supreme Court. And so I kind of think of that. So you think of I think of it as Stephen was standing there, maybe, you know, down below, and everybody was else. You see the movies where you think of like that council that's sitting up looking down. It's kind of like when we look at Congress or the Senate when they're questioning. We see the questioning going on. That's kind of how I envision that. And Stephen says, listen to me, my brothers and my fathers. He's trying to pull them in with the unity, with the wisdom that he has. The glory of God appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country, your people, God said, and go to the land I show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and set to Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He just continues to, and we're going to go through, this is what he hits in that whole entire chapter. Stephen, a Jewish man, an Israelite, who was a Christian, who came to Christ at some point, accepted Christ and accepted Christ as the Messiah, just as I do, right? That he knew that Jesus' death on the cross was called out from through the Israeli covenants and the Messiah where he was going to come through, and he fulfilled the prophecies, and Stephen starts to lay that out. Where did I leave off? I'm going to start in verse 6. God spoke to him in this way. Your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for hundreds of years. For 100 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, God said, and afterward they will come out of the country and worship me in this place. Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of who? Of Jacob. And Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs, the 12, the tribes, right? The father of the patriarchs, the fathers. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. And he calls out again, Stephen, using the wisdom here, listening to the Spirit, he calls out and gives them, how did God first take place with the Israeli people? And it was through Abraham. And he calls out to his fathers and his brothers. Guys, remember, it all starts here with Abraham. And he goes into that. And then it gets into their fathers, the leaders of the tribes, where they rejected Joseph. And that's the first kind of thing where he shows them and says, you rejected Joseph. All right. But God was with him and gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So he made him king and he made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck in Egypt and all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our fathers could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers on their first visit. He just unrolls the whole story of the history of the Israeli people. Then when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt. He sent our fathers on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family. And he just continues to drop down and continue to speak about the history of the Jewish people. Now we're going to jump through, because I'm trying not to get into the whole history of the Jewish people, but I'm trying to just concentrate on Stephen here, right? Verse 27, it says, "But the man who was mistreated, the others pushed Moses aside." This is the Israeli people after Moses killed the Egyptian. Do you remember that story where Moses killed the Egyptian? And the Israeli people at that time looked at him and said, well, what are you going to do? You're going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? And they rejected Moses as a leader. That's where that's starting out in verse 27. "But the man who was mistreated, the others pushed Moses aside and said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?' When Moses heard this, he fled." That was the second time where Stephen says, guys, fathers, brothers, you rejected Moses. The Israeli people rejected Moses. This is our story, and here's a rejection. Dropping down to verse 37. "This is that Moses told the Israelites, 'God will send you a prophet like me from your own people.' He was in the assembly in the desert when the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to us. But our fathers," once again, he's pulling out another rejection that the Israeli people gave. "But our fathers refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt." They turned back. Stephen's kind of saying, hey guys, brothers, fathers, yes, we are Israelites. We are God's chosen people, but our fathers and our nation has continually rejected so much of God. We hold to this law. We hold to this thing that we manage our life with and that we can try to control people with, but we continue to really reject what God really wants from us. And that's what he's leading into. And then I also find it interesting that in verse 42, but God turned away and gave them over to their worship of the heavenly bodies. That was Israel. This agrees with what was written in the book of the prophets. "Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the desert, O house of Israel? You lift up the shrine of Moloch and the star of your god Raphan. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Babylon." Once again, Israel turned. They rejected God. They turned and they were worshiping another god, Moloch. Like we still hear, like there's still people that worship Moloch, and that's where they sacrificed their children. And a lot of people say that's what abortion is today, is this sacrificing of children, an abortion of this worship of this god Moloch, which you can see how that could be. So that's jumping into, and then we're going to just quick jump over as we come back. I'm going to hold off on 57. Verse 48, "However, the Most High does not live in houses," because the Israelite people, then he talked about David who wanted to build the temple, and then David didn't build the temple. Solomon built the temple, and then Stephen goes in to continue to say, "The Most High does not live in houses made by men, as the prophet," once again, he pulls out the prophet again. Stephen had the wisdom, had the knowledge of the prophets. And he was speaking those prophets, that the word of the prophets, just as these men should know, right? Just as these fathers and brothers in Israel should know. And he said, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all of these things? Stephen, that's just a quick jump down of this whole chapter. What made me think of this even more this week as a speaking of truth, especially Stephen, who was talking to his brothers and his fathers in this council, he was on trial, and he spoke the truth of the Israeli people, that they were chosen through Abraham, and they continued to reject God throughout their history. And he was saying that you rejected God, you rejected the prophets, you're holding to the law like this system that God gave the law, but you're holding this law totally out of what God intended it to be. And these guys, what did they like? They liked that power. It's the same type of thing that happened with Jesus. Jesus, and even before that, same type of thing that happened with John the Baptist, right? No, John the Baptist was murdered by the world, a worldly individual. Jesus was murdered by the Jewish people, and that's where we're also going to find Stephen murdered by the Jewish people. So Stephen speaking truth. As I started looking at this week, and then we had everything that happened this past week. We had a new president come in. We have, which I thought was great. Now we have a one flag policy. I don't know, for many years, it would make my stomach turn if you were overseas and there was a U.S. embassy and at the top of the flagpole was a symbol of immoral sexual morality, right? That's what was being spewed throughout the world of the United States. Now we're back down to one flag. Or you had at the top of a flag where we're concerned with one aspect or one type of people and not everybody. The United States, the flag symbolizes what? So our United States flag symbolizes a unity of Asians, blacks, whites, Hispanics, Indian. That's a unified flag for all of us, not just one specific people. And it's a unified flag for things that I don't even agree with, right? It gives a flag of a unified agreement on freedom of speech. And people speak, and people have a lifestyle that I don't hold to, that I would say I don't agree with biblically, but they are free to live that way, right? And that's kind of all covered within that flag, our flag. And our flag now is just our flag. Not any other special flag will be flown, which I thought was a great thing. And then we also now, once again, for generations, we had two genders. And all of a sudden now, guess what? We have two genders again. We went from multiple genders and all sorts of stuff. Now we're back down to two. So there's some truth that's back now in our, that's being displayed in the world. Some truth, some common sense truth, right? So with that stuff all taking place this week, then we had a bishop who, and I'm not sure if you heard the story about a bishop who kind of they made some statements, right? So I wanted to kind of look at that because I heard on the radio, and when they said a Protestant minister said this, and then I heard what they said, I was like, well, I'm glad I'm not Protestant. I'm glad I'm a Christian. You know, I'm glad I'm a Christian because I follow Christ. I follow what Scripture says. So an Episcopal Protestant minister gave a speech at the a prayer event. And, you know, I'm not... What she said of mercy is definitely true, right? I mean, we are supposed to be mercy. We are supposed to have mercy. We are supposed to show mercy to people. And once again, Stephen was talking to the Christian, the church, the council. Jesus, when he was murdered, who murdered him? Once again, it was the church. So my question and my thought was, is the church today speaking truth, or are they kind of doing the same thing that happened to Jesus? Are we just like the same animal, right? The same animal. And when I heard this Protestant minister that talked about mercy, I was like, yes, well, we're supposed to have mercy. We're called as Christians, Catholic, Methodist, Protestant, whatever, you know, whatever, however you want to classify it yourself, Episcopal, whatever, we're supposed to have mercy. We're called to that. Jesus calls us to have mercy as Christians, right? And we're supposed to have mercy for all people. So my thought then was, so here is this message, if I agree with it or not, the entirety of it, that was spoken under our symbol of freedom, right? And the article that I read was, is it the church's job to speak morality, to speak about spiritual things to state and federal leaders? And what the article that I read was honoring this person that they spoke this to our leaders. I have no problem for Christian spiritual leaders to speak truth to our government officials. That's the call of the church, right? The call which we see, the call of the church is to speak truth. But this truth that this all of a sudden in the church today, what we see kind of happening here with the Sanhedrin is they speak a little bit of truth and then they twist it to get their own, what they want. Not, so there's this twisting going on. They speak the truth somewhat and then twist it and turn it. Is it the church's job? Where's the church today? Are we as a church supposed to speak truth and only speak about love and acceptance? Or is it the church's job, which I see in Scripture, that we're supposed to preach truth, love and acceptance, but then also repentance and turn from your wicked ways? That's what I see in Scripture. And that's kind of where this whole thing that rolled out with this bishop, where they missed the mark on, yep, their Scripture talks about mercy. Now let's look at the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy, right? We're supposed to be merciful people. We're supposed to have mercy on. We're supposed to reach down and help our brother. We're supposed to reach down and help the person that isn't like us whatsoever, that we're supposed to help and love and take care of the individual that might be homosexual, that might be a leper, that might be a possessed person. We're called to help people, right? That's our job. That's the truth. Our job is to help people and to show God's love, no doubt. And we're supposed to show mercy. But then also in the Beatitudes, it says in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Because of righteousness. Is it our job as a church to speak truth and just concentrate on love, concentrate on, we have people in our country, immigrants who are here illegally, and we're just supposed to let them hear. But we're all supposed to be righteous, right? So we have this context going on right now in our society. Our society is, you have some people speaking that if you hold to law, if you hold to a righteousness, you're a bigot, you're a judge, you don't love people. But yet scripture says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Are we supposed to hold to righteousness, or are we just supposed to be merciful? Are we supposed to be merciful and disregard righteousness? And so I had the conversation, which, you know how this stuff happens and it's all promoted and you see it on the everywhere, and then all of a sudden people are talking about it. So my thought was, like, see, people are talking about it. Well, what's the church's stance, you know, on these things? Our country is supposed to be righteous. We're supposed to have laws. We're supposed to not discriminate against people. And I don't see our country doing that. I mean, I really don't. So my question was then to this bishop who came out and talked about this, the mercy towards all this deportation and about illegal immigrants. I was wondering to myself, it's like, I wonder if she locks her door when she goes out. Like, does she lock her, when she lives in D.C., I guess. And if she goes out the door and to the supermarket or to church where everybody knows she's going, does she lock her door? Right? I would assume, how many people lock their door in here when they leave their house? Okay, I'm seeing who doesn't. Hey, go. Okay. So most people lock their door. I'm assuming if you live in D.C., smart woman, right? This bishop, smart lady, who's oversees the whole Episcopal Church in the district. I assume she locks her door. Why lock your door? I mean, that's all our country's doing, right? Our country's saying we have to have some type of mechanism, some type of device to. It's a lock. It's like we're letting people in here into our country that we're not saying we don't want you here. We're just saying come in legally. So to have mercy on someone that's here illegal, we want to, and so it's not like the easiest cut and dry thing, is it? Because we have people that we know that were born here from illegal parents, and now they're here, and so it's a mess, right? It's not an easy situation. So I would say, like, as Christians, the job of the church is to uphold and to be merciful, but also to uphold and be righteous. We see that from Stephen. Stephen spoke the truth. Stephen spoke the truth. I don't think it's the church's job to be soft on things that shouldn't be soft on. We're supposed to hold to a righteous standard that God wants us to hold to. Jesus talked about it. At the same time, he wants us to be merciful. I don't see our country killing people because they're illegal immigrants. I mean, I don't. We're giving them food. We help people. We it's taxpayers' money. And I don't see society saying don't spend our money to help people. I don't see that. You know, I think what I don't like, and I think the church needs, instead of going to the extent of just concentrating on the love and acceptance, the church universally still has to say, we need, this is what the call is of Christ. Come to me. Follow me, right? I will forgive you of your sins, but you need to repent. I will take you. No, if you are a child molest rapist, Jesus says, if I will save you. I will save you. The worst person that could possibly be, I will save you. There's still going to be some consequences maybe on earth that you're going to have to deal with, but I will save your soul. And as a church, that's how I look at it. I love you. If you are here illegally, I love you as a person. Or as a church, what can we do to help you to get you here legally and follow what our laws say? I don't think that the church should just be speaking love and acceptance and mercy. We also need to speak, follow Christ, turn from your wicked ways, turn from your sin, right? That's part of the church and call of the church. Stephen, once again, was not murdered, as we get into next week, was not murdered by the government. He was murdered by Christian religious people. And that's where that infighting takes in. But Stephen was full of wisdom, able to speak truth, and laid out the whole history of the Israeli people during this segment with the Sanhedrin. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. Lord, help us to be loving people. Help us to be merciful people. Help us to know, Lord, that even with mercy and love and compassion and help, also, Lord, that we know that you want us to speak truth of people need to turn. We need to come before you with a heart that wants to follow you, a heart that is changed. Not just, hey, we just do whatever we want, Lord. Help us to know. Help Christian churches throughout our world to speak truth. Help us to just lift and glorify the gospel of salvation of you. And I pray for that. I pray for our nation, Lord. I pray for many people that are confused within our nation. I pray for churches to be speaking into their communities of how they can help and how they can pull people in to follow you better. And Lord, I pray for pastors and bishops and priests and rabbis and whoever knows you as their Messiah, Father, that we will speak the truth even when it's hard to speak it. And I pray for that. And thank you for this time and this day. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, as we go, just going to read out, and you can stand up, you can gather all your stuff. The purpose of our church. You don't have to sit, you don't have to yawn. You can just keep going. Purpose of our church shall be to reach lost people and to establish and strengthen the Christian life of each member of the congregation through providing opportunities for worship, instruction, fellowship, service, mutual aid, brotherly love, brotherly counsel, and evangelism. I said you didn't have to sit. You can get up and go. Praise God. Amen.